We're continuing our series on dealing with excuses of why people wait to come to the Lord for salvation, for forgiveness, for eternal life. And we're dealing with these because you might be struggling with these excuses yourself.
Estamos continuando la serie en por qué la gente esperan para venir a Cristo. Para ser perdonados, para tener vida eterna, hermanos. Las excusas que usan la gente, hermanos, y quizás usted está usando alguna de estas excusas ahorita. O quizás usted se va a encontrar con alguien un día que tiene estas excusas y usted va a poder responderles como debe.
Perhaps you're going to run into a person who's going to give you these excuses and you'll be able to respond to them. And so that's what we're doing today. There was a story in the book of Acts of the Apostle Paul. And he wasn't an apostle then, he was an unbeliever. And he hated Christians. And he was on his way from Jerusalem to Antioch with an arrest warrant for Christians that he would find there. Yeah, he says, I'm going to bring back a whole bunch of them to put on trial. Había una historia en el libro de Hechos de Saulo. Después se hizo el apóstol Pablo, pero se llamaba Saulo y él odiaba a los cristianos y llevaba órdenes de Jerusalén para ir a arrestar a los cristianos que se encontraba o que descubría en Antioquía. Y en el camino se encontró con Jesús. And on his way, he ran into Jesus. Jesus was supposed to be already crucified, you know, months ago. And here he is. He runs into him, but he falls to the ground blind from the light of his glory. Okay. Dice que cayó al piso ciego por causa de la luz de la gloria de Dios. And Jesus speaks to him. Jesus tells him how his life was going to change. That first of all, he identified himself. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, and this is what I'm going to do with you. Okay? And he lays it out. Y dice que cuando él estaba tirado en el polvo, se identificó Jesús y dijo, yo soy Jesús, el que estás persiguiendo ahorita. Y esto es lo que voy a hacer yo con tu vida. And after that happened, a man came. And found Saul, okay, blind and for 3 days, haven't eaten. And this is what he told him. And now why are you waiting? Okay, why are you waiting? That's what we're studying today. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul needed a little push, okay, to stop waiting. And commit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Miramos aquí después de 3 días de ciego y en un cuarto oscuro, no había comido ni bebido agua, vino un discípulo y sabe lo que le dijo. Ahora, ¿para qué estás esperando? Levántate, bautízate y lava tus pecados clamando el nombre del Señor. Hasta Saulo estaba esperando.
He had been saved, yeah, brothers. He, after seeing the Lord, hearing what he told him about himself, he was the resurrected Christ. He'd still 3 days, yeah, in blindness.
Todavía estaba 3 días en cieguez, fíjate. Hasta que no vino el discípulo y le dijo lo que tenía que hacer. Entonces, deja de esperar y actúa y entrégate a Cristo. Bautízate. Yeah.
Sometimes we need that. Hay tiempos que necesitamos oír eso. Deja de esperar y ponte las pilas. Sigue a Jesús.
So, did you know that there is a command in the gospel?
¿Sabías que había un mandato en el evangelio?
Yeah.
It's not just an invitation, it's a command.
No solo una invitación el evangelio de venir a Cristo, es un mandato. ¿Eh? Jesús nos dio ese mandato. ¿Eh? Nos dio el ejemplo cuando Él clamó también y le dijo al pueblo, ¿verdad?
Jesus also spoke to the people. Notice what he says. He says, come to me. Okay? That's the command. That's the imperative. Es la imperativa cuando Jesús dice, venid a mí. No dijo si quieren. He didn't say if you want. He said, it's, no, come to me. The gospel is something the sinner must come to obey and come to Jesus. El evangelio es un mandato que el pecador tiene que obedecer y venir a Cristo. And notice what happens. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. With what? Laden with what? Your sin, your disobedience, your rebellion against God, your denial of his lordship over your life. Yeah? It weighs on the soul, brothers. Yeah? Dice, ¿qué debemos hacer cuando vengamos? Todos los que estáis cansados y cargados, ¿de qué? De los pecados, de la desobediencia, la rebelión. ¿Eh? Contra Dios, reconociendo que Él es nuestro Dios, Él es al quien damos nosotros la adoración, ¿eh? La obediencia. And what will happen? He says, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. ¿Y qué va a pasar si venimos a Él? Y yo os haré descansar. Es lo que dice ahí la palabra, descansar. ¿Eh? Why are you waiting to rest? ¿Para qué esperas para venir al descanso? Notice what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. See, the Christian life, once you come to him, you learn to follow him. You start to learn to follow him. But when people don't come to him because they're waiting, they never really learn. They never really learn until first they come to him. That's the first step. Okay? Y luego dice en el 29, tomad mi yugo sobre vosotros y aprended de mí, que soy manso y humilde de corazón. Tenemos que aprender de Él, ya que primero venemos y luego aprendemos. Muchos quieren esperar y tratar de aprender primero. No, ¿cuándo? Tenemos que venir primero a Cristo. ¿Eh? Y luego vamos a aprender. ¿Eh? Y nos va a cambiar la vida. ¿Eh? And then it says, for in verse... Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle in heart, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah? Wow. Rest for the soul. Dice, hallaréis descanso para vuestra alma. Ese es el mandato. He commands us to come find rest. Nos manda que vengamos a hallar descanso en Él. Yeah? En su salvación, in His salvation. So, this is the reason people are putting it off, because all they see is a command, but they don't see the benefits of coming to Him. That's like way out there. They can't connect with it. So, let's look at the objections. It's actually 6 objections. It's not 4, but we'll get to those last 2 next week. Okay, we're going to cover 2 today. But let's look at the last week's objections. Vamos a ver las objeciones que la gente tiene de no venir a Cristo inmediatamente. Van a ser 6 en total, pero hoy vamos a ver 2. Estas son del pasado, la semana pasada. I will later. I will come to Jesus later, but not now. Okay, we dealt with that. Lo haré mañana, más tarde, pero no ahora. Allá está, quieren ponerlo para atrás, ¿verdad? The second one was, I want to wait until I am sure I can live the Christian life. La segunda es que quiero esperar hasta estar seguro de que puedo vivir la vida cristiana. Yeah. Well, let's go to number 3. That's the one we do today. Este es el que vamos a hacer hoy, hermanos, número 3. La objeción que la gente tiene. You're going to run into that. Maybe it's you. Who knows? I want to wait until I am sure I can live the Christian. You know what? I think I missed one. Oh, the second one was, I don't know enough yet. That was it. Yeah. El segundo objeción, que no era este, hermanos, era que no sé suficiente todavía para venir a Cristo. Quería crecer más en entendimiento. Pero este es el tercero. Quiero esperar hasta estar seguro de que puedo vivir la vida cristiana. Yeah, we see people who are Christians, and we see their standards, and we, wow, you know, I can never be like that. You know? And if I just have to wait until I get close before I become a Christian. Muchas veces miramos a otros cristianos maduros en Cristo que son obedientes, que son santos, que son completamente diferentes a nosotros y decimos, ay, nunca voy a poder ser como eso, pero voy a tratar de mejorar mi vida para un día serme cristiano. Yeah.
Pero así no trabaja la vida cristiana, hermanos. See, this implies a misunderstanding of the Christian life when you're waiting to get better before you become a Christian, okay?
Esto implica un mal entendimiento de la vida cristiana, hermanos, si estás esperando a mejorar tu vida antes de hacerte o entregarte a Cristo.
I reminded the example of the doctor or the person who has a terrible fever, and they say, hey, what are you waiting for? Go to the doctor. He says, okay, how silly would it be if they say, well, I'm waiting till this fever goes down, okay, and I feel a little better, then I'll go to the doctor. It doesn't make sense. Yeah? It doesn't make sense. The issue of a sinner trying to be less a sinner in order to go to the Savior.
Hay un ejemplo del que tiene una calentura y le dicen a él, ¿para qué estás esperando? Ve al doctor. ¿Eh? Tiene una calentura grande. Y si la persona dice, bueno, voy a esperar que la calentura se me vaya o se me baje un poco y luego voy a ir al doctor, pues es suena un poco como tontería, ¿verdad? Es como igualmente un pecador diciendo, quiero ser menos pecador para venir al Salvador. ¿Verdad? So
it's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. And some mistakenly believe they are expected to act like mature Christians right away. Okay? And they're afraid they won't be able to measure up, so they just put it off. Yeah?
Esto, comenzamos. Muchos creen que no, que esperan de uno de que tiene que actuar como un cristiano maduro antes de venir a hacerse cristiano, hermanos, y eso no es la cosa.
We forget that, brothers, that what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, okay, it helps us understand what the Christian life is about or how it works.
Dice en 1 Corintios 3, hermanos, habla de que empezamos como niños, ¿verdad? En Cristo. Y aunque todavía nos estamos comportando carnalmente en ciertas áreas, pero empezamos como niños.
It shares here that we start as babes in Christ and often still carnal in our behavior when we start to become a Christian, okay? When we give ourselves to Christ.
Notice what Paul says to the Corinthian church. It was full of carnal believers, okay? They were still struggling in many areas. And this is, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh.
That means they were controlled more by the flesh than the Spirit of God. It says,
as to infants in Christ. There they are, see? He had to adjust his teaching towards them because he realized they were infants in Christ, right? At the moment, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able.
Dice de los Corintios, la iglesia de los Corintios eran bien carnales. Dice, así yo, hermanos, no puedo hablaros como a espirituales, sino como a carnales, como a niños en Cristo. ¿Eh? Así empezamos todos, niños en Cristo. Os di a beber leche. No alimento sólido, porque todavía no podáis recibirlo. En verdad, aún todavía no podáis. Yeah.
So, young believers are given milk. Okay, the easier commandments of Christ. Okay,
son los mandatos más fáciles de Cristo que se les da a los niños en Cristo. Yeah.
Y así, hermanos, indica claramente que No esperamos que actúen como adultos.
Yeah.
So God doesn't expect any new believer to act like an adult, like a mature Christian. He doesn't expect that.
Yeah.
He knows you're going to grow.
Yeah.
¿Sabe Dios que vas a crecer tú?
Here's the other one.
But we are to grow gradually, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Okay.
Entonces nos dice en Colosenses que debemos crecer despojándonos gradualmente del hombre viejo y vistiéndonos del hombre nuevo.
Del hombre nuevo.
Who is the old man that he's talking about here?
Huh?
The one you are right now, perhaps, or the one you used to be.
Okay. Depends if you come to Christ yet or not.
Yeah? El hombre viejo es la persona que a lo mejor eres ahorita o que ya te has despojado de ese hombre cuando viniste a Cristo.
Yeah. So there's a change of heart when you come to Christ, and when the old heart, the old man is done away with, brothers, okay? He's done away with. Your personality, your memory, you won't gonna lose your all of that, right? You're just your nature, the old nature of self-worship, okay? Of take care of numero uno, okay, in life, okay? Put me first, okay? And that's the sin nature. God does away with that, and then the new man is born, okay? And that's the one we begin to feed and to allow to grow in the Word of God.
Ese hombre viejo es el que se despoja, es el pecador, que se ama a sí mismo, que se adora a sí mismo, el que pone al número uno, yo soy el número uno primero, ¿verdad?, en esta vida. Ese se deshace cuando viene Cristo en la vida. Y nace el nuevo hombre, el nuevo hombre. Let's look at that verse there. Colossians 3:8. Colosenses 3:8. See what it says there. Get my notes straightened out.
It says, but now you also put them all aside. This is the old man. Notice what you got to put aside from the old man.
This is where we are starting to grow, okay? Those things want to continue our life, but we just got to, no, that's not me anymore. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. It says, do not lie to one another.
Oh, it's just a white lie.
No, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices.
When?
When I surrendered to Christ, okay? And have put on now the new self, which is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's the image of Christ.
Dice claramente, Colosenses 3:8, dice aquí el mandato, dice, pero ahora desechad también vosotros todas estas cosas del viejo hombre.
Y no quiere decir que lo vas a poder hacer todo de un solo seco, pero es un proceso. Desechar de la ira, el enojo, la malicia, el maldiciencia, lenguajes soez de vuestra boca. No mintáis los unos a los otros.
Yeah. Si todavía estás mintiendo, pues no has desechado las cosas del viejo hombre todavía. Quítate, di la verdad.
Puesto que habéis desechado al viejo hombre con sus malos hábitos.
¿Cuándo?
Cuando me rendí a Cristo.
Dice en el versículo 10, os habéis vestido de nuevo hombre, es cual
se va renovando hacia un verdadero conocimiento conforme a la imagen de aquel que lo creó, que es Cristo.
Se va renovando. It says, it's being renewed. That's a process here in verse 10. It's being renewed, the new man.
And so, that's why, brothers, friends, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. God is going to do the work in your life.
Yeah. The changing, he's going to do the work.
Yeah. He's going to remind you, hey, what did I say about, lying to your mom and dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Dios va a hacer todo el trabajo, hermano. Él te va a ir renovando. Te va a ir recordando de las cosas que te tienes que despojarte. Ese coraje que tienes, ¿qué te dije de ese coraje?
Suéltalo.
Esas mentiritas que te está haciendo tu mamá, esconder, esas cosas que está escondiendo.
Di la verdad. Di la verdad.
Ese es el viejo hombre. Suéltalo.
So, brothers, the Christian life, brothers, is growth. It's a renewing day by day.
Es un crecimiento la vida cristiana día por día.
In fact, one cannot live the Christian life without Christ.
You can never
obey the commands that God wants you to obey without Christ in your life first.
De hecho, hermano, no puede vivir la vida cristiana nadie sin Cristo. Nadie puede obedecer los mandamientos de Dios sin Cristo.
That's why Jesus came, brothers, and paid the price for us, and then he left.
And that could have been seen as a bad thing, but he had to leave in order to send the Holy Spirit.
Because it's the Spirit of Christ that comes in the believer, and now he is able to live in such a way that he could not do before that, in such a way that he obeys God now. He wants to obey God. Entonces, hermanos, es importante que necesitamos a Cristo primeramente en nuestra vida, o si no, nunca vamos a poder obedecerlo. No estés esperando hasta que tu vida cambie, porque no puedes. Tienes que tener a Cristo primero. Él te da el poder y la habilidad. Vamos a ver lo que dice la palabra. So, notice here in 2 Corinthians what God provides for the new believer. Aquí dice lo que Dios provee para el nuevo creyente que viene a Él. We have not ceased to pray for you. This is Paul talking about to Christians. And he's praying for you and to ask that you may be filled with what? With the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that, why? Why do we need knowledge of God? It comes through the Word of God. It comes through the Bible. It comes through sermons and Bible studies. That's the knowledge of His will. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Okay? So, brother, this is a growing process as we learn about God. We start to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Yeah. But when we stop learning, when we don't think that's important, we don't... Brother, we don't change, okay? We got to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Or else, there'll come a point where, you know, you've been here, what? You've been here a year. That's enough. Go home. You're done. No, we're never done, brothers. We're never done. We're always growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Hermanos, nos dice claramente aquí, no hemos cesado de orar por vosotros y de rogar que seas llenos del conocimiento de su voluntad. ¿Y qué es eso, hermanos? La Biblia, la palabra de Dios, es el conocimiento de su voluntad, en toda sabiduría y comprensión espiritual. ¿Para qué? Para que andéis como es digno del Señor, agradándole en todo, dando fruto en toda buena obra. Hermanos, por eso solo es posible, de agradar a Dios, hermanos, si estamos creciendo en toda sabiduría y comprensión espiritual. Que es la palabra de Dios. ¿Ya? Y nunca vamos a dejar de crecer, hermanos. O si no, Dios diría, ya estás aquí un año, ya es suficiente, vete, ya terminaste. No, hermanos, estamos aquí hasta que Él venga, creciendo en el conocimiento del Señor. Dios es grande, demasiado grande que podamos aprenderlo todo en esta vida. Y seguiremos creciendo y aprendiendo. So, no se puede crecer, ¿verdad? Si no tenemos la sabiduría de Dios, estamos creciendo en sabiduría. Here's another area. I put two of them together here, but we'll cover the top one first. But grow, here it is again, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dice, antes bien creced en la gracia y el conocimiento de nuestro Señor y Salvador. The growing process. When do we start the growing process? Come to Jesus and find rest for your souls. And cleansing from your sin. Yeah. ¿Cómo vamos a tener esta a crecer en la gracia y el conocimiento del Señor? Tenemos que venir a Cristo. Tenemos que venir a Cristo primero, hermanos. It says, to Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Y para Él sea la gloria. tanto. Yeah. Do I have the right verses here? Those aren't it? Oh, I'm in the wrong section here. Y Él ha dicho, te basta mi gracia, pues mi poder. Oh, yeah. Okay, I was in the wrong section, brothers. I'm sorry. I got so many verses on my notes here. Let me go back. Start over. He has said to me, this is Paul talking. God told him, Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast of my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Aquí habla del poder de Dios, que Dios da al cristiano. Cuando estamos débiles, dice aquí Pablo, Él me dijo a mí, te basta mi gracia, pues mi poder se perfecciona en la debilidad. Por tanto, muy gustosamente me gloriaré más bien en mis debilidades para que el poder de Cristo more en mí. You recognize you're weak, you qualify to become a Christian. Si reconoces que eres débil, calificas para ser cristiano. Porque por medio del débil se manifiesta el poder de Dios. It's when you are weak, when you feel that you can't go on, when you feel that you cannot respond correctly, and you acknowledge it, that the power of God, the power of Christ begins to flow in you to respond as you should, to act as you should, to say what is right before God, and to do what is right. It's when you're weak that God's power flows, the power of Christ flows.
Cuando eres débil es cuando fluye ese poder de Cristo en tu vida. ¿Para qué estás esperando hacerlo en tu propio esfuerzo? No hay poder ahí en la carne. Es el poder de Cristo que trabaja.
Yeah, it's the power of Christ that really makes a difference in our life. Yeah. Are you weak? Then come to Christ. And then become strong. Yeah. Become strong. And the last one is Ephesians 3:16. That he's praying again, Paul, for the church, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. He's praying for the believers that they be strengthened with power on the inside. Okay? Dice, Pablo ora en Efesios 3:16, que os conceda conforme a las riquezas de su gloria, ser fortalecidos con poder donde... en el interior, ¿verdad? Por su espíritu en el hombre interior. Yeah. Por su espíritu.
That's a wonderful thing, the Holy Spirit, that he's only there if you've invited Christ to come into your life. If you've come to him and found rest for your souls. The Holy Spirit is an incredible power source and presence, okay? Everlasting presence of his comfort and his love and his power.
El Espíritu. Si no tiene el Espíritu de Dios, no puede hacer nada. ¿Eh? Por eso, hermanos, Él nos da el poder para vivir la vida cristiana. Para hacer, comportarnos como Cristo.
So, you'll never wait long enough for that to happen. You gotta have Christ.
Tienes que tener a Cristo primero.
So, we need Christ and His strength in order to truly reform our lives.
Yeah. Necesitamos a Cristo y su fortaleza para reformar verdaderamente nuestras vidas. Yeah. Verdaderamente nuestras vidas.
Praise the Lord. Huh? The hard work. He does all the hard work.
Él hace toda la obra difícil, hermanos.
We just got to trust and obey. For there's no other way, says the song. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Yeah. Here's the last one for this morning. The excuse, okay? Some may say there are hypocrites in the church, Pastor. Okay? That's why I'm not a Christian.
Hay unos que dicen, hay hipócritas en la iglesia, por eso yo no soy cristiano, Pastor.
Huh? Hay hipócritas.
What does that mean?
¿Qué quiere decir eso?
Huh? Well, I think it means I don't want to become like them. I don't want to be identified with them. So I'm not going to become a Christian.
Lo que están indicando ellos es que yo no quiero hacerme como un hipócrita como ellos. Y yo no quiero ser identificado con esos hipócritas. Por eso yo no me voy a hacer cristiano. Por eso yo no vengo a Cristo.
Okay. That's true, brother. There are hypocrites in the church.
Sí, es cierto. Hay hipócritas en la iglesia. But there are hypocrites everywhere. Yeah. El problema es que hay hipócritas por todas partes.
Yeah.
Por todas partes hay hipócritas.
Yeah. In the PTA, in the civics club, in school, at work, there are hypocrites. Okay? There are hypocrites.
Miramos, hermanos, que por todos lugares, en el trabajo, yeah? Los clubes cívicos, yeah? Por donde quiera que tú vayas, hay hipócritas.
But here's the question. Do hypocrites in a football stadium prevent you from enjoying a good sports event?
Si tú estás en un estadio mirando un equipo de fútbol, ¿te previene a ti gozarte en el evento deportivo porque hay hipócritas en el estadio?
No. No nos molesta nada.
Nos gozamos y cuando meten el gol, ¿qué decimos? ¡Gol! No decimos, ¡ay, aquí hay hipócritas! No.
Yeah.
When they catch that football in the end zone, brothers, you know, you stand up and cheer. You don't stop and say, oh, no, they're hypocrites here. You know, I can't enjoy this. Brothers, there are hypocrites everywhere. So their sin of hypocrisy is no excuse for us to continue in our sins. Okay? El pecado de ellos, de ser hipócritas, no es excusa para que nosotros continuemos en nuestro pecado. También. No es excusa. It's not an excuse. And I like this question too. Which is worse, to spend a few years in a church with a few hypocrites or spend eternity in hell with all the hypocrites? Yeah. ¿Qué es peor, hermanos? ¿Qué es peor? Yeah. Que nos pase a nosotros estar unos cuantos años en la iglesia con unos pocos hipócritas o estar por la eternidad en el infierno con todos los hipócritas. Yeah. It don't make sense. Yeah. No tiene sentido eso, hermanos. No tiene sentido. Some other things to remember. Let's talk about those. Vamos a ver ciertas otras cosas que debemos recordarnos. First of all, Jesus did not refuse to worship in the synagogue, though religious leaders in there were hypocrites. Okay? He enjoyed his Father in the synagogues when he was on earth. Yeah? Miramos que Jesús no rechazó ir a la sinagoga a adorar a su Padre, aunque la sinagoga tenía muchos hipócritas en la sinagoga. Jesús siempre iba cada sábado y adoraba a su Padre. And Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the apostles did not leave Jesus because Judas was a hypocrite. Yeah. Y después, hermanos, Pedro, Santiago, y Juan, y todos los apóstoles no dejaron a Jesús porque Judas era hipócrita. Siguieron en la obra, hermanos. Siguieron siguiendo a Jesús. They continued to follow Jesus, yeah, till the last breath of their life. So, brothers, it was an excuse for Jesus or the apostles. It should not be for us. No debe ser excusa para nosotros, si no fue para Jesús y los apóstoles, hermanos. They're everywhere. And last thing, brothers, I say, every hypocrite will receive his just reward. Siendo que hay muchos hipócritas y están por donde quiera, todos van a recibir su recompensa justa. Yeah? Su recompensa justa. Let's look at that. Okay? What is their just reward? Jesus talked about that. Jesús habló sobre ese evento en la Biblia. And he shared the parable of the unrighteous steward. Habló de la parábola del siervo injusto que no se comportaba como debía cuando él estaba en el cielo. Yeah. And so the master, it says here that the master of that slave, okay, and I think this slave is also a hypocrite because he didn't act as he should be. The master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and on an hour which he does not know and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Where's the hypocrites? In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to think about where that place might be. Okay. Dice aquí, vendrá el señor de aquel siervo, el que no se comportaba como debía aquí en la tierra. Ese siervo, y el día en que no espera, y a una hora que no sabe, y lo azotará severamente, y le asignará un lugar con los hipócritas. ¿Dónde queda eso? Allí será el llanto y el crujir de dientes. El llanto y crujir de dientes. ¿Dónde está ese local, hermanos?
Where is that location, brothers, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? That's hell. It's hell. Okay. So that's where all the hypocrites are going. They're going to get their just reward. Why should we join them?
Yeah. Ahí es donde van a ir todos los hipócritas, hermanos. Donde hay llanto y crujir de dientes. ¿Por qué tenemos que nosotros ir a juntarnos con ellos allá? Yeah. No esperemos y vengamos a Cristo.
Let's not wait, brothers, and let's come to Christ. Yeah. Let's come to Christ. Some things we got to do, brothers. Yeah? You got to check one of these, brothers. Today, right now, you're going to check one of these. You're either going to say, next time, later, tomorrow, or you're going to say now. Come to Jesus today and find rest for your soul. You haven't done so already? Tell the Lord, I'm coming, Lord. I need rest. I need rest. Take my sins, Lord. I'm tired of carrying them.
Entonces vamos a tener que venir en oración al Señor. ¿Y para qué? Para encontrar descanso para nuestra alma. Y decirle con nuestras propias palabras, Señor, estoy cansado de estos, de cargar mis pecados, estos 15 años, estos 20 años, estos 50 años. Quiero descanso, Señor. Perdóname. Límpiame.
Come to Jesus today and begin laying a foundation on his teachings.
Yeah.
A foundation on your life of learning, yeah? Of learning and growing.
Ven a Jesús hoy y construye cimiento para tu vida con sus enseñanzas.
Yeah, it might mean, brothers, that we got to get back in the Bible. Maybe we stopped reading the Bible weeks ago or months ago, and we got our excuses, but those don't matter either. Okay,
and we saw the Lord has answers for all the excuses.
Ven a Jesús hoy y construye el cimiento para tu vida con sus enseñanzas. Si has dejado de leer la Biblia, necesitas que orar esto. Porque has dejado de crecer. Has dejado de crecer, ya no estás avanzando en la obediencia. Y el mundo se está metiendo. Cuando dejamos de crecer, el mundo empieza a meterse. El viejo hombre empieza a sacar la mano de donde está enterrado.
So you don't want the zombie brother of the old man coming out of the grave again, okay? Because we stopped growing in the word and in the knowledge of the Lord. Come to Jesus today and trust in his strength to live the life he gives.
Yeah. Stop trusting in yourself.
That's why we connect with the Lord. Abide in me and I in you.
Yeah.
Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said.
Ven a Jesús hoy y confía en su fuerza para vivir la vida cristiana.
We sometimes forget, brothers, that we don't need to meet with the Lord every day. We don't need to pray. We don't need to have a constant relationship. We start thinking like that. And then, brothers, we start to go backwards in the Christian life. And Jesus made it clear, abide in me, okay? Abide in me, and I in you. Yeah. Without me, you can do nothing.
Yeah. Habita en mí, dijo Jesús, y yo en ti, porque sin mí nada podáis hacer.
If you don't hook this up, brother, every night, it ain't gonna do you much good.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to abide in Christ. Have that constant relationship with him.
Tenemos que tener esa constante relación con Cristo, porque si no la pones la plug, el cable no te va a trabajar pronto. Y muchos cristianos están desconectados en su vida con su relación con Cristo.
Let's all stand, brothers. We're gonna pray.
Vamos a orar, hermanos.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for reminding us, Lord, that even if we have already come to you, to your son Jesus, sometimes we forget how to live the Christian life. Grant us, Lord, today to continue growing in the knowledge of the Lord, in a daily relationship of praying always and enjoying our conversation with you, Lord, throughout the day, that your power might flow in us and through us so that we live like you lived when you were on earth.
Señor, gracias que nos recuerdas, Señor, que te necesitamos a ti, Señor. Necesitamos tu palabra que siga siendo sembrada en nuestro corazón, Señor, creciendo en entendimiento y conocimiento de ti. Pedimos, Señor, que podamos confiar en ese poder de tu Espíritu, Señor, mientras estamos habitando en esa relación preciosa que tú nos has regalado. Ayúdanos, Señor, vivir obedientemente y poderosamente para tu gloria.
And for those that would like to make a decision today, just say, Jesus, I need you. I need rest for my soul. Just tell them that.
Si no has hecho la decisión todavía, hoy quieres hacerla, dile, Jesús, necesito descanso para mi alma. Estoy cansado, Señor, de tener una vida sin ti, de tener una vida cargada con tantas cosas que me han pasado y he hecho contra ti, Señor.
Límpiame, Señor, este día. Dear Jesus, I'm tired. Tell him. I'm tired of living a life without you in it. Of living a life full and heavy of the things that I have done against you and the things I have done to others. And I ask, Lord, that you forgive me and cleanse me and cause the old man, the old woman to fade away, and that you would move into my heart, Lord, now and forever.
Causa, Señor, que ese viejo hombre pecaminoso se vaya y nunca regrese, y que tú vengas y entres a este corazón y estés conmigo para siempre, Señor.
We ask this in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remain standing.